And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, Dave Lewis, producing things. May chime in on this category here today.
Maybe.
And we're joined by Director of the Riley County Historical Museum, Cheryl Collins, via telephone. Cheryl, good morning.
Good morning.
Cheryl joins us once a month to talk about some different perspectives about local history, and has been doing some research into neighborhood grocery stores in the history of those in Riley County and Manhattan. And that's going to be, I think, a fun subject matter here this morning.
I've really enjoyed looking into it, and there's a lot I don't know, and I think there's a lot of your listeners that do remember them, so I hope they'll chime in with their recollections. Manhattan Riley County Preservation Alliance did a little article in March of 2011 on neighborhood grocery stores, and you can go out online and see that article if you want. And then there's some local folks that have done some research in the past, Ray Navarro and Stormy Kennedy and Gene Hill, that have gathered some information. So I kind of used that and then found what I could find. And neighborhood grocery stores were really common and I think really interesting.
Yeah, and we just don't have the neighborhood grocery stores as much as we used to, but I understand there is one that's still happening here in
Riley
County.
Yeah, we have a number of buildings still standing. I think I found at least eight buildings that used to house neighborhood grocery stores that are still standing in Manhattan, and hopefully, as I do more research, maybe I'll find a couple more. We've lost a lot recently. But one store has been in continuous operation 99 years, 2021 will be their 100th anniversary as a neighborhood grocery store. And that's currently Yee's Friendly Grocery at 1030 Colorado. That store was built in 1921 by Mr. Myers. And Mr. Myers, I guess, didn't last very long because he lost the store within a year, 1922, actually. A.F. Whitlock bought it, and so it was Whitlock's for a year. And then C.G. Jackson bought it, and it was the Jackson grocery store in 1923. By 1927, it was called Jackson's Jack Spratt Store. I think a number of stores bought into a consortium where they could wholesale through Jack Spratt. So then they were Jack Spratt stores. And in 1946, that store, Jackson's, was sold to Roy Lum. And Mr. Lum then took as a partner Richard Keller when he returned from World War II. And then Mr. Keller had the store himself by 1952. And Mr. Keller ran the store then from 1952 to 1984 when it became Yee's Friendly Grocery, and that's what it is today. So I think it's really neat that we have one of those neighborhood groceries still operating in that same location for almost 100 years.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, I definitely we will be going over there to shop because that's an experience that you just don't get much.
No, and really grocery stores over the last 100 years have changed quite significantly. I remember we in my hometown, we used to have a grocery store on the east side of town. It was a smaller, you know, I think it was like a Crest Apple Market, but it was nice because it was small. You could get stuff really easy. The people in there are pretty friendly and they know you by name, and that, you know, and that still happens at the bigger grocery stores, but not on the same level.
Right. Grocery stores were really responsive, I think, those little neighborhood grocery stores, to what people needed. So I think they would have different niches to have products and things that their neighborhood particularly was interested in. Some of them were also pretty good with credit. I remember Jean Dallas telling me about when she lived up on Delaware, and she shopped at the grocery store just down the hill at 1701 Leavenworth. And she told me when she first moved in there, she went into the grocery store. Well, she'd forgot her purse. And the guy said, no sweat, you know, no problem. You can go ahead and take your groceries. And she said he wrote her amount on the wall behind him. And she didn't think anything of it. She figured she'd get a bill. After a month or two, she realized, I never got a bill. And she went down and talked to him, and he said, oh, yeah, I don't send out bills. You just come by every once in a while and pay. So she was interested in the way he operated. Obviously, pretty lenient.
Boy, I guess. Yeah, that's impressive. You mentioned we still have the one in operation. What do you think changed about the shift away from the neighborhood grocery stores and why we don't see as many anymore?
Well, I think grocery stores run on a very small margin. And so when big national chains came in, it was hard to compete. And, you know, if you didn't have very much buying power as one little store, it became more and more difficult to make ends meet. So I think that was one thing, at least, that was a factor in little neighborhood stores going away. I know some of the neighborhood stores tried to kind of figure that out by joining consortiums like the Jack Sprat chain. And I think A&P was one of those, too, that had a nationwide wholesaling system that local stores affiliated with. So I think they tried to adapt in different ways, but I think for neighborhood grocery stores, it became more and more difficult.
Speaking with Cheryl Collins, director of the Raleigh County Historical Museum, and if you have any memories of old neighborhood grocery stores you've shopped at, we'd like to hear from you. 785-537-1350. And I think it'd be kind of interesting to get some perspective from some of our listeners. Of course, I've only lived here 2 years, so I haven't really gotten to embrace some of those memories here, but it looks like we do have a caller who wants to share some memories. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yeah, good morning. I guess you're talking about grocery stores?
That's right.
Okay. Well, you don't have enough time, and neither do I, but I'll give you a rundown on the stores that were right around the Bluemont School area. Do you have time?
I think it's excellent.
Okay. Anderson Grocery Store was on North 5th Street, about a block south of Points, a block or so. It's a church now or something. But that was Paul Anderson's brother, and Paul Anderson owned Standard Plumbing for years from the 40s. Well, it's still Standard Plumbing. Okay. Well, he had credit. He'd give people credit. And unique thing about that store, Chad Hettinger, who is a classmate of mine and a photographer, his dad worked there, and he had his left arm was cut off probably about the wrist. And he delivered groceries. He would carry groceries by the sack, box, whatever, delivered to the house. They'd sign a ticket. They'd go in and pay every once in a while. The other one was Mr. Brown's grocery store on Kearney Street in the 600 block north side. It's a residence now. O'Neill's grocery was over on Thurston, Kearney, Battier, and up in about the 900 block. That was Van's grocery store. Originally, they had a dairy out north, and so they sold their product through there. Then it became O'Neill's grocery store. Then it became Moore's grocery store, and Mr. Moore's the one that, had some situation in his life, and this is kind of gruesome, but he cut both hands off, and the saw went next door, fell face down, and coagulated the blood, and the milk guy delivering milk came by and found him, saved his life. The one you're talking about up on the 11th at 17th was Pat Leonard's grocery store. I bought a car that belonged to him at one time. I bought a 56 Ford that he owned from Skaggs Motors. That's an old Ford dealer around here. And Pat Leonard was a great, great guy. Now, there was another one up there near the Ramada Inn or the Holiday Inn now, block south on the south side. Can't remember his name. And then there was Compton Grocery. There was a grocery store right on the southwest corner of the middle school. That I can't remember that name of that, but later Curtis Harris Sr. Had an upholstery shop in there and lived there. I think it's a residence again. And I can go on and on and on, but you don't have enough time, and you'll get tired of listening to me. So someday I'll come up, and I'll go over all of them with you, and then you'll have a complete list. Well, semi-complete. A&P was one of the first here. Kroger's was here. They were in the old Crumbs Beauty School. Well, actually, they were over there at 4th and, well, right next to Seton.
Humboldt.
What's that?
4th and Humboldt.
Yeah, right next to Seton's, the lawyers. That mm-hmm. was the Kroger store. Then it moved over to where Crumbs Beauty School was. And then it became Dillon's, and it's out west now. A&P was right across the street from Getch Irwin, which was the Chrysler Plymouth dealer on 4th Street. They were there. Then they moved down two blocks to the east. They were on 3rd Street, big store. Tom McKinnon ran that. Tom McKinnon was from the Wamego area. His relation was... Well, that Judge Rogers was his relation, and the old sheriff over there, Polk McCann, was his relation. So that's enough history today, and we'll have another blog another day. You all have a great day, and have a great forever, not today or tomorrow, forever, and thank you very kindly for the time.
Well, that's interesting, and we always love more information. There seem to be a lot of grocery stores on Kearney Street, Northside Grocery at 1101 Kearney, which then later was Thayer's, and, of course, Brown's. I had Brown at 612 Kearney. I hope that's right. And then I found Mr. Stewart Grocery at 614 Kearney, Gahan at 920 Kearney. So that seemed to be an area that we had lots of grocery stores in.
Very interesting, and I love that perspective. Thank you, Paul, for calling in and educating us on a little bit of Manhattan history here. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll continue our conversation here with Cheryl Collins from the Raleigh County Historical Museum on InFocus.